about a verse there. And I want you to notice, and he says there in verse, let's just start in verse 11. For the foundations can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble. Now you know wood is a dead tree, hay is dead grass, and stubble is dead wheat. And everything that wood, hay, and stubble is dead. And it has to do with the flesh. The Bible says we're dead. Our flesh is dead. Dead indeed. And to sin, and we're dead. And anything we do for this old corpse, this dead, is a dead work. The work that you do for your own fulfilling your lust and your flesh and enjoyment of your flesh is dead. And it'll burn at the judgment seat of Christ. Now notice what he says there. Verse 13. Every man's work. You notice that? Now I want you to compare something here. It don't say every man's works, does it? Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Now, what do you mean, what sort it is? Well, Romans, turn back to Romans. I'm sorry, turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Sort. Of what sort it is? What kind is it? Well, there are two kinds of work. Look what he says there in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 9. Wherefore we labor. Well, you know what labor is? It's work. Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every man may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or what. Well, I got a good work, and I got bad work. And that'll match 1 Corinthians chapter 3. The wood, hay, stubble has to do with the flesh. The gold, silver, precious stone has to do with the Spirit. And it has to do with the Lord. Now which one are you in? Now you can't be in both. You're either doing a good work, or you're doing a bad work. And by the way, it says there the things in verse 10. So I got things. Boy, we got a lot to answer for, you know. Now that's more than one. So we got the work here. Man's work shall be tried, whether it's good or bad. And then I got things. And these things could be good or bad. You know what these are? These is your actions. Things that you do. Now the whole thing about the judgment seat of Christ, if you're lost, you ain't got nothing to worry about. This. You lost, you got another judgment you're headed for, and the end result of that judgment is the lake of fire. And at the great white throne judgment, when you stand before God Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, You're going to stand there and say, well, if I'm going to hell anyway, why have I got to be judged? See how hot you're going to burn. See what degree of torment you're going to be in for all eternity. I tell you something, folks, if people really saw what's in this book about that, they'd do anything to get saved. And you know the thing about it is, you don't have to do nothing to get saved. Jesus Christ did it all for you. And He did the work for you. Now, I want to talk to you about the work of the Lord. Turn over with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. It's the work. It's a good work. The work of the Lord. That if you're saved, that ought to be your heart's desire. Is the work for the Lord. I'm not talking about getting up in the morning, punching the clock, and going down there. I realize you got to work. And I realize the Bible says if a man don't provide for his own, especially those of his own household, he's denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. God Almighty expects a man. The Bible said in 1 Thessalonians, He said if a man don't work, let him not eat. And folks, that'd cure the welfare problem. If it don't work, let them not eat. I realize there's people not able to work. I realize that. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about bums. I'm talking about people that could and won't because they're too sorry. Then let them not eat. That's what the Bible says. And I'm talking about, I realize a man should provide for his own. He goes and does a job. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter, I forget what chapter it is, but the money, I believe it's 11 or 9, something like that. Money is the answer of all things. And you got to have. Nothing wrong in having money. Nothing wrong in working for money. Nothing wrong in taking a wage for your labor. God expects that. Nothing wrong in being rich. In fact, turn to Timothy. Hang on to 1 Corinthians. Turn the page down and look in Timothy. Look in chapter 6 in 1 Timothy. Verse 17. Chapter 6, verse 17. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded. That's be, you know, high-minded. Think you're better than everybody. You're above everybody else because you got more than somebody else. And you think everybody else is nothing but trash. High-minded. Don't be high-minded. You know something? You might have more than somebody else. But you get thinking like that and the Lord can just cut your legs right out from under you. Wouldn't be so high-minded then, would it? Look what he said. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in the uncertain riches. You got it today, but you might not have it tomorrow. Could collapse. Something's going to happen in this world, in this country. Be not high-minded. Nor trust in the uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. You know why you got what you got? The Lord give it to you. He give it to you to enjoy. So, well, how come I don't have as much son? Because you might not can take it. Ain't no doubt in my mind, the Lord don't. I couldn't have what some of these other people have. Cause why? I'd get the big head. And I wouldn't be no count for the Lord. Amen. What is wrong with y'all? Read it. That they, verse 18, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. Embrace it. In other words, don't worry about this life here. You better start looking to that one you're headed to. This life down here, if you live to be 100 years, is nothing but a drop in the bucket. You're headed for eternity out there somewhere. And what you do for the Lord is the only thing that's going to precede you. Now look back in Corinthians. You've heard that in chapter 16. Work for the Lord. In chapter 16, let's go back in verse 15. Chapter 15, verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Your labor, work of the Lord. You know that old poem, you've heard it, says only one life 'twill soon be past. And believe me, it flies. It just seems like yesterday I was a teenager waiting to get my license at 16. And now I'm 40. A little older. Headed toward that 60 mark. Only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. Work of the Lord. What are you laying up in store? What are you doing that's going to be gold? Or is it going to be wood? Hay, stubble. Look back in chapter 16 of 1 Corinthians. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, notice what he said. I beseech you, verse 15, brethren, and you know the house of Stephanus, they're the first fruits of Achaia, that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. Come down to verse, I'll tell you what, go back to with me to verse 10. Now Timotheus, come, see that he may be with you without fear, for he worketh the work of the Lord as I also do. Well, there's a work. Timothy was working of the Lord. What is it? Well, one of the works was they addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. In other words, the work of the Lord would be edifying the body of Christ. Now God would have all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. There's two things in that verse. God's will for you is to be saved. And He gave His Son to die for your sins on a cross. He paid for all of your sins. Your sins is not the problem. Your sins is not what's going to send you to hell. People don't go to hell because they're bad. They don't go to hell because of their sin. They go to hell because of their unbelief. Atonement has been made for you. What is an atonement? It's a sacrifice. It's a something that's given two disputing parties, and one that caused the dispute offers and gives to the other that's been offended. But you couldn't give nothing to God. You're the one that caused the offense. You don't have nothing to give to God. There's nothing you can give that will cause the Lord to forgive you. You have nothing to offer Him. So He became one of you. He came in the form of a servant. He came down and He became what you are, and He died and gave His life and shed His blood, and now we receive that atonement. You have been atoned for. Don't you understand that? God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. Folks, God is not holding you accountable for your sins today. God held Jesus accountable for your sins, but God will hold your unbelief accountable. So, well, how can I be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Just believe that He died for your sins. I think about Paul when he's over there before Agrippa. And he's telling his story. Before Agrippa came, I believe it was Felix, Festus, yeah. And old Festus said, "You willing to go up to Jerusalem, Paul, and answer thine accusers?" And he said, "I stand at Caesar's judgment where I ought to be judged. If I've done anything worthy of death, I refuse not to die." But you know what he said? "I appeal unto Caesar." That word "appeal" is the same word for call. What is it to call upon the Lord? It's to appeal to the Lord. It's to turn your case over to Him. You can't save yourself. You can't do nothing about it. You're a doomed damn sinner, and there's nothing you can do about it. But God provided a sacrifice for you, and you turn your soul, you turn your eternal destiny over to Him, trusting that He died as your sacrifice. God will save you. That's God's will for you. And there's probably somebody sitting here today and you won't do that. You know why you won't do it? You're afraid you're going to have to change a little bit. You're afraid that, I don't want to give up my life I got now. That's that old religious mystery of iniquity talking to you. That's religion. That's what this world says. You don't have to give up nothing. God ain't asking you to give up anything before He'll receive you. What in the world? Why would you even think that? Because some preacher, some religion told you had to turn from all your sins before God would accept you. Well, I'm telling you, God will accept you in spite of your sins. Why? They're all done, paid for. Now, so if you are saved, let's look at your work. Number one, look in where he talks about in verse 10 in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 10. Talks about Timothy, "Come and see that he be with you without fear, for he worketh the work of the Lord as I also do." Turn with me and look in, let's go over to Philippians. And notice in Philippians chapter 4. What is some of the work? What is the work of the Lord? Well, God would have all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth, right? Well, how's He going to get people saved? Well, look with me and look in 1 Philippians chapter 4, verse 3. "I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labor with me in the gospel." Thank God for women that love the gospel that helps the preachers preach it. Amen? I'm not talking about getting up behind the pulpit. I'm talking about helping. Getting people in or just helping. Supporting. Praying. Being there. Some of you men, you probably wouldn't even come to church if it wasn't for your wife. Now let's get up and go. Are you not going today? Thank God for you. Gouge them. Get them out of bed. Get them up. Tell them to take a shower. They're going to church, you women. They'll listen to you when they won't listen to nobody else. Now, you know something? Every one of us is a little henpecked. Some more than others, but we're all pecked a little bit. So, ladies, help keep them in church. Men, sorry. They don't want to go. Keep them in there. Why? You're working. Help those women which labor with me in the gospel. Clement also, with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Work of the Lord. Turn back with me. It's in the gospel. What is the work of the Lord? Well, God would have all men to be saved. And how is He going to get them saved? By preaching the gospel. You know what the work of the Lord is? It's getting the good news out to people that Jesus Christ died for their sins and they can be saved simply by trusting in what He did for them. It's not your church membership that'll save you. You can join this church, end up in hell. Not your baptism that'll save you. You can be baptized to the tadpoles, knows your social security number, and that won't save you. There's nothing that'll save you except trusting in what Jesus Christ did for you on the cross. It's the good news. Our work of the Lord, getting the gospel out. Notice something else about this thing. Notice the work of Christ. Turn over, well, look in where he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. And take 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And notice in chapter 4 verse 15. He said, for though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me. How did Paul begotten the Corinthians? Through the gospel. How does men get saved today? By the gospel. What is the power of God unto salvation? The gospel. Romans 1:16. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but to us which are saved, it is the power of God. What will bring salvation to people? The cross, the cross, the cross. That's the only thing, way you can. Well, what do we do? Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Notice in verse 1. Am I not apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus our Lord? Are not ye my work in the Lord? You know what His work was? Those people that He got saved. You know what the work of the Lord is? It's getting the gospel out and getting people saved. Behold upon. There's another word. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Getting the gospel out, getting people saved. I mean, it's a wonderful work. Ephesians chapter 4. Notice what he said in verse 11. He gave some apostles, some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Then there's a work of the ministry, and it has to do with the people. We equipped you. We teach you. We teach you the Word of God rightly divided. You go out and do the work of the ministry. What is the work of the ministry? It has to do with edifying the body of Christ. all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. You know, your job, the work that you're going to stand, the good work, is the work you do in that body. Y'all missed that. I know you did. Every cell, every part of your natural body, every organ, every part has a function to do in that body, and that's a work. Do you know what you're going to be tried by fire? Every man's work is what you do in that body. God placed you in the body of Christ. You've got a job to do in that body, and that's the work in the body that you're going to give an account for. It has to do with building the body up, folks. We work, do the work of the Lord to get the gospel out, get them saved. And after they're saved, we get them in, try to teach them the truth of the Word of God rightly divided to get them perfected to build up the body of Christ. You know, the body of Christ should be that anywhere there's an assembly that a member, a Bible-believing member of the body of Christ, is saved by the grace of God, could go to that assembly around here, anywhere, and they'd be preaching and teaching the same thing. But you can't do that. You can't, because everybody's got their own set of beliefs. Everybody's there. They're not in unity of the faith. And the ministry, work of the ministry as a member of the body of Christ, is to bring the body of Christ into unity and endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in that body. Now, what are you doing to get people to see the truth of the Word of God rightly divided? Have you ever even talked to anybody about it? Have you ever just sat down and said, well, I can't baloney. You can talk to them about everything else. Say, well, I can't answer the question. Listen, I don't have all the answers. But I doubt whether I'll ever be asked all the questions. Don't worry about not having answers. There are people out there that's in the body of Christ. They're saved by the grace of God, and they don't know what you know. They don't know nothing about right division. They don't know nothing about rightly dividing, following Paul. They don't even know who their apostle is. They know they were lost, and they know that Jesus Christ died for them. They trusted in Jesus Christ, and they're saved, and they're in that body. But they can't do the work of the Lord in that body because they've never been taught right division. And God let your path cross. He might want you to bring them up to what's lacking in their faith. What are you doing? Oh, work of the Lord. Come unto the knowledge of the truth. Have all men to be saved. Number one is to get the gospel out. Tell them about Jesus Christ. Get them saved. They trust Christ. The Holy Spirit baptizes them into the body of Christ. Then after they're in the body of Christ, they got a job to do. It's your job. You're to do the work of the ministry. My job is to equip you. Pastors, teachers, we equip you. We teach you the Word of God rightly divided. We show you the difference between law and grace. We show you the difference between the church and the body of Christ and the Israel of God. We show you the difference between the mystery and teach you the mystery so that you can go out and you can teach others and show others and talk to others about it. And if you can't get them out there with your own knowledge, then bring them into the assembly so the teachers and the preachers can teach them. Now what are you doing? I'm telling you, there's a day of coming, and you're going to stand up there and you're going to watch your, because you just work for Him. Not important. You know something? I guarantee you, I don't want you to raise your hand. But I bet About everybody in here raise their hand if they believe that this is God's book. You believe that? Just say amen. You believe God wrote this book? It's the only book that you got that you can put your hands on and say, God Almighty wrote that and preserved it in English. Then why don't you read it? I mean, man, it's the most important book you got in your home. But people use it like a filing cabinet. They find a four-leaf clover, they'll stick it in it, and all they'll find, put their bills in it, put everything in it they don't want to lose. You know why? They never open it to lose anything out of it. Well, I can't find so-and-so. Well, look in the Bible. It's a great book. What are we doing, folks? Well, there's some of you got family members. It's locked into the religious system, the mystery of iniquity, and they're going to stand and weep and cry, and just tears is going to stream down their face, and they're going to look over at you. I'm saved, but why didn't you teach me the truth? Why didn't you show me the truth? Now I have nothing. There are people there, they'll do anything for their children and their mamas and their daddies, and they'll tend to them, and when they get sick, and they'll do all of that other stuff physically, but spiritually, they're going to let them burn at the judgment seat of Christ. Shame. I know what it is. Your pride. Don't want to be counted as a cult. Gold. Pitiful. We're a pitiful side, ain't we? Huh? Well, y'all glad I'm back? Amen. I'm back. Pitiful. Work. What are you doing? The work of the Lord. So, well, I can't talk good. Well, I got something for you. Turn over with me. Let's try something. Look in, you there in Philippians. Let's try it again. Philippians. Another work. You know what that work is? Look in chapter 2 of Philippians. He's talking about Epaphroditus. Look in verse 30. Because for the work of Christ, he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life, to supply your lack of service toward me. Well, what was the work of Christ that he did? Verse 25. Yet I suppose it necessary to send to you, Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor and fellow soldier, but your messenger, and he ministered to my wants. Look in chapter 4, verse 10. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. You know what the work of Christ done? Oh, Epaphroditus, he helped Paul. And he took that care, that offering or whatever from the Philippi, and he carried it to Paul, and he was nigh unto death doing it, but he cared. Why? He thought it was important. You know why some of you don't support the ministry and you don't come like you should? It's because you don't think it's important. He thought he was important. Look in 1 Timothy. People don't think this Bible's important in their life, and it is. God placed this assembly here. This is a ministry. This is not some denominational organization. This is a ministry here, and God's ministry. It's His ministry. He didn't put us here just to have a nice building. He put us here for the ministry. Don't y'all understand that? And what comes into this assembly is for their ministry. What is the ministry? It's to get the gospel out and build up the body of Christ. Lord have mercy, that's the only thing there is. But look at it. Look at old Osiphorus. Look in 2 Timothy. I probably told you 1 Timothy. Chapter 1, verse 16. The Lord give mercy unto the house of Osiphorus, for he oft refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. But when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently and found me. The Lord granted to him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day, and in how many things he ministered unto me at Ephesus, thou knowest very well. Folks, I want to tell you something. You can, you know, I'd rather, and I'm not, it's like Paul said back in there, and I preached on this far left. Look in 1 Philippians chapter 4. And I hope you understand this in Philippians chapter 4. Notice verse 17. It's not because I desire a gift, Paul said, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. Listen to me. What you do for the ministry is what it puts fruit. It puts it to your account. Don't y'all understand that? We're laborers together with God, and God will reward you. Look in back with me and take look in chapter 4, Corinthians. Well, I told you wrong again. 1 Corinthians. And I'm going to close. What you do for the... Listen to me. I'd rather give a grace preacher... Are you listening? I'd rather give him 10 cents. I would get more out of it from the Lord to give him 10 cents than I would to give Joel Holstein, John Hagee, Kenneth Hagin, or Ernest Angeli, or any of those preachers that don't preach anything. I'd rather give a grace preacher 10 cents and get more out of it than I would if I give them $1,000. I want fruit to my account. I support other men. I try to do for other people. I try to do for other ministries. And I'm not pinning no flyers on me, but the more you do for the ministry, the more the Lord will reward you for it. Over and over. Look at what he said in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5. Therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsel of the hearts. And then shall every man have praise of God. You want praise? That's what I'm after, ain't you? Praise of the Lord. Praise of God. It has to do, though, it's a work of faith. And I don't have time, but you can read it in 1 Thessalonians 1:3. He talks about their work of faith. It's a work of faith. You do it by faith. You do it to the Lord. What you do to the Lord. When you give to this ministry, it loses your identity. You know what? It loses you. God Almighty starts a ministry. He puts a man in that ministry. He puts people around him to help him in that ministry. It's a ministry. Charity Bible Church is a ministry. It's not nobody's. It's the Lord's. It's a ministry. And we're laborers together with God. And folks, I want you to have something put to your account. So what do you do? Well, you get people saved. You get the gospel out, you get them saved. and you get people after they're saved, you try to get people to understand the Word of God rightly divided. We have tape ministry, we have different things. My, just because you want to share this to them. And it's a work of faith. I hope you got something out of it today. Say, well, you're pretty crude. Pretty rough. Well, that's what the correction is. Now listen, if you go out and you say anything about it, you remember that old saying? The dog that gets hit yaps the loudest. Now, it shouldn't have bothered any of you. What I preached, you ought to have been able to say, amen, preacher. You're exactly right. But if you didn't, then you need to talk to the Lord about it. We're a ministry here, folks. We've got a job to do. And I think the Lord's coming back soon. And if you're lost, you need to get saved. I mean, we might be voting in Antichrist here shortly. You never know what's going to happen. I'm just saying that. Don't go out here and say, I believe it. Might be old McCain. I don't know. He's got a... According to Zechariah, he's going to... when Kevin's talking about the last 3.5 years, he's going to have a one eyeball shot, his right eye, and his arm's going to be withered up. That's where they assassinate him. But we could be close. I was thinking the other day, you know, the Antichrist, he might be sitting over there in the Middle East somewhere waiting for all of this stuff. And you know something? It doesn't matter what is happening. We ain't got no part of that. I'm not looking for the Antichrist. I'm looking for the Christ. I'm not looking to go through the wrath. I'm looking for my bodily salvation. How about you? Shake hands with one another and you can go.